Today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, we continue in a series called You Make Me Crazy. These teachings take a biblical look at topics like peace in our relationships, finding true love, breaking free from abuse, resolving conflict, ending the cycle of people-pleasing, and dealing with the crazy makers in our lives. Now, because we've all got at least one relationship that makes us crazy, in just a few minutes, we're going to tell you about a must-have resource from Pastor Rick Warren called the You Make Me Crazy Study Kit, complete with a 6-session DVD and workbook. If just surviving your relationships isn't good enough for you, then go ahead and take a sneak peek at this powerful DVD-based Bible study while you're listening to today's broadcast. You can find out more by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com with two R's in the middle or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part two of a message called Resolving Conflict.
Now, the first thing you have to do is deal with your fear, or you're never going to take the initiative. The second thing you're going to have to deal with is you're going to have to deal with the timing. Timing is everything in conflict resolution. You got to do it at the right time. Now, you say, okay, fine. When they're ready and they come to me, I'll deal with it. No, that's a cop-out. You take the initiative. Would you write this down? It's always my move. It's always my move in conflict management, conflict resolution. God expects you to take the first step. That's called being a peacemaker. Now, Jesus talks about this in the Sermon on the Mount. And in Matthew chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, he teaches this principle of take the initiative. It's the first key to conflict management. He says in Matthew 5:23, if you're standing before the altar in the temple. Now, what's he talking about here? You're at worship. It's what you're doing right now. If you're standing before the altar in the temple, okay, if you go to church to go to worship and you're giving an offering to God and you suddenly remember that somebody has something against you. Notice, it's not you got a problem. It's they got a problem with you. So either way, you take the initiative. You remember that somebody has something against you. You leave your offering there beside the altar. Go at once, circle at once. Go at once and first be reconciled to that person, then come and offer your gift to God. You know what he's saying here? God says reconciliation takes priority over worship. Wow. Some of you shouldn't be here. Reconciliation takes priority over worship. He says, you know, you like to worship, you like to come and sing, you like to hear God's word, you like to learn the principles of life, good. But he says, there's something more important than that, reconciliation. And he says, if you come to worship and you got something out of whack with somebody else, you need to go get that right first and come back. He says, leave your gift at the altar, go at once, be reconciled, then come and offer your gift to God. Now, what is Jesus doing here? He's saying, don't ignore it. It doesn't matter if you're the offended or you're the offender. You need to take the initiative. It's always your move. When? At once, as soon as possible. You don't delay, you don't postpone. Some of you have been putting off this for weeks, months, or maybe years. Okay, step number two. Or the third thing you have to do before, sorry, this is still in initiate. You got to plan a sit-down meeting, okay? This is in taking the initiative. And let me give you some suggestions. Now, I didn't give you a lot of room on your outline, so just write these down. I'm going to give you four suggestions on how to set up a meeting with somebody you're in conflict with, okay? Here's what you do. Four things you do in setting up the meeting. Number one, I've already mentioned this, choose the right time. Choose the right time. Timing is everything. When is the best time to have a meeting to resolve a conflict? The best time is when you're both at your best. That's when you do it. When you're both at your best. You may be ready, but they may not be ready to receive it. You've been thinking about this. You're ready to talk about it. They may not be ready to talk about it. So you don't pull it on them. You don't drop a bomb on. By the way, never drop a bomb in bed. You're going to get an explosion. I mean, you know, you've been thinking about this all day. Wise, your husband comes home. Just as he puts his head on the thing, you say, honey, we need to talk. And you start in the first point, he's going, and then you explode. Never drop a bomb in bed. Somebody ought to tweet that. Choose the right time when you're both at your best, okay? Number two, right place. You choose the right place. You don't just do it anywhere. You figure out where's a good place and a good time to do this, where we can be relaxed, where it's quiet, where we won't be bothered, where maybe the kids are asleep or they're away or whatever, where we can talk frankly and honestly, where there's an emotion can come out. You choose the right place where you can be interrupted. Number three, pray before meeting. Very important. And you say, God, I'm scared to do this, but I need to be filled with your love, and I need you to help me do this right. Now, if it's a deep problem, you may take more than one meeting, but you still pray before the meetings. And the fourth thing is come with a positive attitude. You want to come to work on the problem, not to attack each other. You're not coming to demean or demand or to disable. You're not coming to just disagree. You're coming to say, look, we're on the same team here. Let's try to make this thing work. And you work on the issue. You come with a positive attitude. Now, why do I do this? Why should I take the initiative? Well, let's just remember, Jesus commands it. I'm out of fellowship with God. My prayers aren't heard, and I'm not happy until I really deal with this issue. Now, before we go on to the other six steps, I want us to pause for just a minute and pray. So let's bow our heads, okay? And as we bow our heads, I want you to think of who you need to have this conversation with. You're out of harmony with them. There's something that you just haven't talked about it. You haven't brought it up. You haven't dealt with it. Maybe you both know about it. Maybe only you know about it. But you think of who you need to resolve a conflict with. And then right now say, God, I'm scared to death, but I'm asking you to give me the courage to resolve this conflict. I don't need it in my life one second more. Father, I look out on all these people that I love so much, our church family, and I ask you to give them the courage and the strength to deal with these issues. I pray that they would live conflict-free lives as much as possible, as far as it depends on them, that they may experience your joy, your happiness, the answers to their prayers, and all that you have planned for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, step number two. Step number two, once you get together in the meeting with that person you've been in conflict with, here's the first thing you do. Number two is confess my part of the conflict. That's what I do first. That's the biblical thing to do. Now, they may be 99.9% wrong, and you're only 0.1% wrong, then you confess your 1% first. That's called humility. Now, my guess is that maybe more than that. But you start with you. You don't start with condemning. You don't start with accusing. You start with, instead of accusing and attacking and blaming, you begin with humility and you deal with your part. Everybody's got blind spots. Some of us have bald spots, but everybody's got blind spots. And Jesus deals with this in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7. He says, why do you notice the little piece of dust, in other words, the splinter in your friend's eye, but you don't notice the big piece of wood, the telephone pole in your own eye? First take the telephone pole, the log, out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to take the splinter, the speck, the dust out of your friend's eye. This is humility. It's starting with my part of the conflict. So what I do is I start with this. Am I being unrealistic? Okay, am I being unrealistic? And I ask myself this, okay? Am I being ungrateful in this relationship? Am I being insensitive? Am I being oversensitive? Am I being too demanding? Do you know what the number one excuse for divorce is today? I'm not saying the reason. The number one excuse that people file for divorce. They say, quote, we're just incompatible. Friends, incompatibility is a myth made up by divorce attorneys. There's no such thing as incompatibility. Any two people can get along if they'll grow up, if they'll stop being self-centered, if they'll stop saying, I'm going to be stubborn. I want my way, you want your way, and we're not going to grow up. Incompatibility is a myth. There are entire books written on the myth of incompatibility. Everybody is different. You're never going to marry somebody who's just like you, so you're incompatible with everybody. The issue is not incompatibility. The issue is immaturity. And we'd have a lot fewer divorces if people had to file, we're divorcing because we're both immature. And we refuse to grow up. And we're self-centered, and we will not give ourselves away. And neither one of us is willing to change. Or only one of us is willing to change. That's the real issue. Given the right situation, you can fall in love with anybody. It's true. I could put you in the right circumstances. Given the right situation, you could fall in love with anybody because love is a choice. You choose to love people and you choose to not love people. Love is a choice. And you just need, many times, we just need to grow up. You see, it is Rick Warren's nature to be self-centered. It is my nature to be stubborn. It is my nature to only think of me. I don't think about you. In fact, as your pastor, I never think about you. For those of you who are listening on audio, I just winked at the audience. Of course I think about you. But it is my nature to think most about myself. And I'm always thinking about me. What's best for me? What do I need me? And I'm always doing that. You see, more relationships and more marriages and more friendships die from inflexibility than anything. It's I'm unwilling to move. I'm unwilling to make the first step. I'm unwilling to show a little humility. Sometimes you get in a relationship and you're just stuck. And when I mean stuck, I mean you can't get on with it, but you can't get out of it, and you just feel trapped. This could happen multiple times in a marriage. Seasons in your marriage where you say, I can't get on with it, but I can't get out of it. And I feel trapped. It's like a traffic jam. It's like a log jam. And all the logs are in the river and they've stopped up and they can't move forward because no one log knows which to move first. How do you break a relational log jam? You may be in one right now. It's always the same way. Humility. You take the first move, and humility breaks the logjam. Let me tell you a sentence that'll break any relational logjam. I'm sorry, I was only thinking of myself. What did you say? Oh, don't ask me to say it again. What did you say? I said, I'm sorry, I was only thinking of myself. You say that, it will break any relational logjam. I guarantee it. Before honor is humility. God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Pastor Tom's going to come and teach the next two steps.
So here's the third thing you do when you're resolving a conflict. You listen for the hurt. You listen for the hurt. There's a phrase that Pastor Rick's taught us over the years that our kids actually have heard often enough that they use it as a cliche with us at appropriate times. It is the sentence, hurt people, hurt people. When I get hurt, when you get hurt, we hurt the people in our lives. If someone's hurting you, I will guarantee you it's because someone's hurt them. It may be you that's hurt them, it may be somebody else that's hurt them, but someone has hurt them, that's why they're hurting you. So you have to listen for the hurt in the midst of the conflict. And it doesn't matter if it's marriage or the marketplace or the Middle East, when people feel fearful or they feel robbed of their dignity, when they feel afraid, out of that fear comes hurt, and out of that hurt comes conflict. Since we're talking about men this weekend, Just women, let me just tell you a little secret about guys. We tend to hide our hurt behind logic. You've seen this happen. We get hurt in a conversation, but instead of saying, I'm hurt, we say, let me tell you 7 reasons why you're wrong. In fact, here's my little chart that shows you exactly why you're wrong with arrows and pictures and everything. We file a legal brief instead of just saying the 2 words, I'm hurt. But the truth is, we're hurt. Because that's where all conflict comes from. It comes out of this hurt in our lives. If you want to connect with people, you got to start with their needs, and that means you got to start with their hurt. Now, how do you hear the hurt? How do you listen for the hurt? Well, a great verse is James 1:19. I love this verse. In fact, it's worth reading together. Would you read it with me? Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. To listen for the hurt, you have to do what this verse says. You have to listen. God gave you 2 ears and 1 mouth for a reason. You need to listen at least as much, twice as much as you are talking so that you can hear the hurt that's in somebody else's life. That is the key to beginning to diffuse the conflict. That's the key to understanding where people are coming from, understanding their circumstances, understanding their background, understanding their perspective, understanding their temperament. You got to listen. These 7 things we're talking about together. In fact, just this one verse, James 1:19, you put this into place in your life and relationship, it can save you thousands and thousands in counseling. In fact, this verse is our memory verse for the week. It's so important, a verse, James 1:19. Let's try to say it again. I'm not going to put it up on the screen. I'm going to see how much we remember just all by ourselves. It's a pretty simple verse. Let's see how we do on it. James 1:19 says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. You guys get like an A+. When you have those verses in your mind and you can bring them to mind in the midst of the conflict, I don't know what it does. All of a sudden it gives you the ability to do something you couldn't do on your own strength. You listen for the hurt. Now, as you're listening for people's hurt, there are 2 areas you have to be especially considerate of. It's in the next verse in the outline. Romans 15:2 says, we must be considerate of the doubts and the fears of others. You might circle those 2 words, doubts and fears. I've got doubts and fears, you've got doubts and fears, and many times in a conflict, you've hit the nerve of somebody's doubt, you've hit the nerve of somebody's fear, and because of that, all of a sudden the conflict starts coming your way. So you want people to consider your doubts and fears, you have to consider their doubts and fears as you consider their hurt. You consider the hurt. Number 4, you listen for the hurt. Number 4, the 4th thing you do is you consider their perspective. Consider the way they're looking at it. Look at their viewpoint. You have this moment when you intentionally shift your focus from your needs, your point, you winning the argument, to their needs. You try to get their perspective on the issue. I was at a wedding yesterday and came in and sat down, and there was this older couple sitting in front of us, and they were sitting with a chair in between them. And I noticed he tried to say something to her, point out something to the back of the room, and she just like, boom, just straightforward. You could feel the tension in both of them. That's why there was a chair in between them. About halfway through the service, the pastor who was marrying this young couple said, there's very few things that are worth arguing about. And even if you do argue, you got to learn to forgive. And I saw them just sort of look at each other when he said that. And then they look back towards the front. About 20 seconds later, the guy's shoulders, the tension sort of goes out of his shoulders, and he moves over one chair to sit next to his wife. This is the issue in relationships. Who's going to move over one chair? Who's going to start seeing it from the other person's perspective? Who's going to make the move? And the person who makes the move is always the person who stops saying, how do I see it? And starts thinking, how do they see it? What are they going through? The Bible says this in Philippians 2:4-5. Here's how we see from another person's perspective. Each of you should look out not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. It's that old Chinese proverb, you seek first to understand before you seek to be understood. Now, how do you do this? How do you consider another person's perspective? Well, there's an important word in that verse. Each of you should look not only for your own perspective, but the other person's. That word look is the Greek word scopos, like you scope something out, a microscope or a telescope. You scope out, you focus in on their perspective. You realize that you are most like Christ when you pay attention to other people's needs. Now, how do you do that? How do you really do that? How do you start noticing others' needs instead of always needing other people's notice? I don't know about you, I'm not that altruistic. I've got needs too, that's what I think. What about my needs in the middle of this? You might just jot down a Bible verse in the corner of your outline. Psalm 139, verse 3. Psalm 139, verse 3 says of God, God, you notice everything I do, and you know everywhere I go. The way you do this is you realize there's a God in heaven, there's a Father in heaven who is there to notice and to take care of every one of your needs. You're not in this alone. He takes care of my needs so I can help with your needs. If you are expecting some other human being, whether it's a wife or a husband or one of your kids or somebody at work, if you're expecting another human being to take care of all your needs, of course you're going to have conflict. They're as imperfect as you are. They can't do it. But when you recognize there is a God in heaven who is willing to meet the needs of your life, all of a sudden you have this new freedom because you know he's going to meet your needs. You have this new freedom to begin to look out and to consider the needs of other people in your life.
Now, the fifth step is very important. Tell the truth tactfully. In this peace conference that you're having with this person that you're in conflict with, you tell the truth tactfully. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians, speak the truth in love. It may be the truth, but if I'm not speaking it in love, I'm on the wrong side. You never use truth as a club. It may be true, but you don't use truth to beat people over the head. People do that on the internet all the time. Beat people over the head with truth. Don't do that. You tell the truth tactfully. Proverbs 12, verse 18 says this. Reckless words, that's the kind you say in an argument that you weren't thinking through. Reckless words pierce like a sword, and you've all been pierced by reckless words by people in your life. But the tongue of the wise brings healing. In other words, foolish words hurt, wise words heal, and it's my choice. You never get your point across by being cross. You are never persuasive when you are abrasive. You tell the truth tactfully. If you don't tell it tactfully, it's not going to be received. Truth without love is resisted. Truth wrapped in love is received. People grow faster. People change faster. People change easier when truth is wrapped in love.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We're so happy that you've chosen to study along with us today. If you'd like to receive Rick's free daily devotional, go to PastorRick.com and sign up right now. Rick will be back to close out our time today, but first, confession time. You probably have a relationship that could drive you crazy if you let it. Whether it's a boyfriend, girlfriend, spouse, sibling, parent, coworker, or a relative you see at every family get-together. A crazy maker can really make life difficult. That's why you need the You Make Me Crazy Study Kit. In it, Pastor Rick Warren brings sanity to your relationships so you can do more than just coexist and survive. You can thrive. In this powerful DVD series, Rick shows you how to be wise in relationships, how to recognize who's pushing your buttons, how to resolve conflict, how to break free from abuse, how to escape the people-pleaser trap, and how to keep the crazy makers from driving you crazy. The You Make Me Crazy Study Kit is perfect for you, your family, or small group. Today, when you support Pastor Rick's Daily Hope with a gift to help share the hope of Jesus Christ with people around the world, we'll send you your very own copy of the You Make Me Crazy 6-Session DVD and Workbook Study Kit. You can go to PastorRick.com or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 to get yours. That's PastorRick.com with two R's in the middle, or you can text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. And thank you so much for your support. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with a closing thought.
You know, as we close today, I just want to say thank you for joining me in today's broadcast. I want to encourage you in another way through my free Daily Hope devotionals. Are you getting those? These Daily Hope devotionals are a summarization of many of the things that I teach on the broadcast. All you got to do is just go to my website, PastorRick.com, and you can sign up for the Daily Devotionals. They're free. They'll be delivered free to your inbox 7 days a week.
And I want to help you in this other way. It's another way of reinforcing your spiritual growth. Thanks for listening today. We love you. We thank God for you. And join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.